Thank you, the PA man. We really appreciate that. I'd like to say thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come here again. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. The hotel and everything is great. And thank you, the Ocean County Baptist Church. We really appreciate you allowing us to be here. And I'd like to say thank you for those who are supporting missions. That's all missions all about, preacher talk about this morning. And this church, that's your ministry there, you have seen. I mean, I know you are here, but we are there. You're partnering with us, as a pastor say, that's your work there. And, I mean, God has been good. Thank you so much for those who are taking 2-3 different jobs just to make sure you support missionaries. And just continue to do that because, you know, these missionaries, they're doing what they were sent to do. They have to be accountable. I preach on the message, like, will you be the one? I mean, one of the points is, can God count on you? People, they don't want to be accountable because, you know, even missionaries, they don't want to give the report or to do whatever. Like, but you have to be accountable no matter what. As the preacher said, my name is Mshama Kinyonga, and my wife Martha, she's back there. And I was born and raised there in Tanzania, East Africa. I grew up there, and then a missionary reached me. And then in 2005, he asked me if I could go to Halsdanson College. I went to college in 2005 in Indiana. And then that's where I met my wife. My wife, she was born and raised in Buffalo, New York. And then she moved to South Carolina. And before I met her, she went to Uganda, East Africa, to teach school there. When she was in Uganda, her passport expired. She has to come back home. And then when she came back home, she had a desire just if she wanted to go back to reach the African people there in Uganda. So she was going to a different college, and then she transferred to come to Hiles Anderson College in Indiana, and that's where I met her. And then we graduated in 2009. Soon after graduation, we were able to get married, and then we were able to go on deputation. And when we were on deputation, we called the pastor, and then the pastor said, you can come in. So we came in, we presented our ministry, and you guys were able to take us on support, and thank you for being faithful all these years for supporting us and doing the work there in Tanzania. So my family and I went to Tanzania full-time in 2013. We were able to work with another missionary for a year, and then after that, we went out to start Grace Baptist Church, what you have seen. We started Grace Baptist Church in 2014, and then August the 7th, before it was our second year anniversary, and we came in the state in August the 10th. We flew back in the state. And then our second year anniversary was August the 7th. And then in these 2 years, we were able to see many people getting saved at Grace Baptist Church through the ministry of Grace Baptist Church. Last year alone, we were able to see 889 people trusting Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And we were able to see many people getting baptized. As you have seen on the DVD, we have so many pictures and videos. We could not put everything in one few minutes, whatever. But we have seen many people getting baptized, and we are reaching the community there, the town. And in these 2 years, we were able to average about 180 people coming on Sunday morning services. And then about 90 people in attendance on Wednesdays. So 90 people on Wednesday. We used to average about 70. And now I preach a hard message about being faithful to church. And now the number went up, you know. So about 90 people on Wednesday. So God has been so good. We had a teen camp. And on the teen camp, we were expecting 150 to 200 teenagers to come on the camp. And then at this camp, we were excited. And then God brought 550 teenagers. It was a lot of teens that we don't know what we're going to do with these teens. Just like it was a mess, you know. You have a few workers and just there's so many people. But God has been good. And we paid for 200 kids to stay at the camp there. And but the thing is, like, the guy, he told me you have to count some of them to go back home because he didn't pay for everybody. And we didn't have the budget for that, the food and everything. So I said, you just wait. But on that week, someone sent me $500. And then I was able to add another $500. We had $1,000. We were able to pay for these teens to have fun, to have a great time at the camp. And the good news is 200 of them trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I mean, I had the decision slip this much. I wish I could bring. I was praying for them and everything. Just continue to pray for the minister of Grace Baptist Church in Tanzania as on my absence, because I left two men that are leading the church now, and the church to continue to stand strong and to continue to move forward. We have a good problem in Tanzania. Many people want to come to church, and we rent these buses you've seen on the DVD. We rent three of them on Sundays, and we pay about $40 each. And then we rent them, and also on Wednesday we rent only one small one. And so now it's almost like a 15-passenger van. You put about 25 to 30 people in there. So on Wednesday, so many people want to come, and now, as a pastor, I'm praying for the bus for the church. At least we can have one bus, the rest we can rent, because sometimes you want to have the teen activity with the teenagers, or you want to take a group soul winning somewhere else. You want to do so many things, but you are limited. But if you have your own transportation, it might make it a little bit easier for us to do a lot of things. So continue to pray for us to get a transportation for the church in Tanzania. And also the building, we were able to buy the land, an acre for land. We started in a small little building we rented, and then the church was growing so fast. So what's happened was, like, we were praying, like, God, we have to move here. It's not, like, it's not working there. The little place was very small. And so we were praying, and then God was able to provide the land for us. We bought the land, an acre for land, and then we were able to build very quick the building, 20 feet by 45 feet. The church, and also we built the classroom for the kids and the bathrooms, and we were able to do that very quick. So now you have 180 people wants to come to church, and you have 20 by 45 feet building. It's not working. I said this morning, I was able to do the wedding. I married four couples in one time. I did the wedding, and they invited their people, and just like so many people came. So I asked our church people just if they could stay outside and the guests to come inside, you know. And they stayed outside, but we had a lot of people on the windows. They were looking through the windows. So we really would like to have a little bit bigger building, you know. And it's a matter of faith, you know. I had a little faith like Peter, you know. I threw a small net, you know. Always on doing the work of God, you need to throw a bigger net. Amen. Because if you throw a bigger net, you can get a lot. If you throw a small net, you get few, you know. So I'm always reminded as a young preacher, you know, just like even the designing of the building, I was not expecting that, you know what I'm saying? But God has been good, and we're expecting like to build a bigger building. Eventually, it's going to cost us about $7,000 for the building, and we have $1,000 on the building fund, and just God is working there in Tanzania through us. It's not me, it's not you, it's not our personality, it's nothing. It's only God. Amen. Only God, and I can't do what we did if it was not for him. And I'm just grateful to be here, to partner with you guys, just like for this church to help in Tanzania. We'd like to welcome you someday. If you plan a mission trip or you are planning to come as an individual, we are there, we'll take good care of you. You'll be great to see firsthand on the mission field. And please pray for us. We have a prayer card on the table there. You can pick one of the prayer card. You can put wherever you're going to remember. If you see our picture, our prayer card, you can pray for us as we go to Tanzania. And our prayer request is those two big things, like we can get the building going and also the transportation for the church. You know, William Kelly, as a preacher said, he said, expect great things from God. Attempt a great thing for God. Amen. We need to attempt a great thing for God. I mean, God is going to do it. No matter what, God is going to do it. I'm just reminded, I'm humbled, because we need to reach this generation and the next generation. You know, Dr. David Livingstone was a great missionary to Africa. He's not there anymore. You know, Adoniram Judson in Burma and William Carey in India and all these great missionaries, they're not there anymore. It's our moment. It's our time now to pick up the baton, to take this gospel to the world out there. Amen. And who's going to do it? Someone has to do it. If no one is going to do it, I'll do it. Because you know what? We need to reach those people. The time is very short. And Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Amen. And we need to get busy. That's why we go to Tanzania. And you guys are welcome. And some young people, yeah, maybe God is going to touch you to come to Tanzania or any other countries just to be a missionary. Because there's so many missionaries that are coming back home. And those people, you leave them behind. We need to stay there. Just continue to pray for us to see God working in Tanzania and to see the work to move forward. And we really do appreciate, we don't take for granted for you supporting us. And thank you so much. I will jump into the message, and if you can open your Bibles, I know some of you have questions. I might take very few while you're opening your Bible in the book of Mark. Maybe I can take you one or two or three questions very quick about our ministry, about Tanzania, about what we're doing there. Anyone has a question? Anybody has a question about the ministry of Tanzania as a missionary? Anybody? A question? Any question? Yes. Do we learn about what?
Church a lot, like every day.
We go to church on Sundays. We are there like in the morning, and the teenagers they stay at the church. I think I'm on here. They stay at the church after the service. They stay there. And then the adults, they go home, but on Saturdays we go soul winning, you know, and then on Sundays we go back, and on Wednesdays also we go back for the prayer meeting, and we have a great time at church. Yes. Yes, sir.
I saw you had a public school ministry.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Yes. The public school ministry is like the government allows, they have these sessions wherever they... like you have history class or English class, and you have a religion class, and anyone is allowed to go there, and you can go and teach the Bible. You don't teach anything else. Teach the Bible. They allow, so you go talk to the headmaster, and they let you go in. We are reaching about 7 schools right now in the public school ministry. We're reaching a lot of students. I don't have the numbers, but we are reaching a lot of students, so it's an amazing ministry. We have the little ones to the big ones, from primary to the secondary school. So we are reaching a lot. And the door is open. We don't have enough workers to go in so many other schools. Yes. Any other question? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, they do. We do have a lot of Muslims, especially on the coast. During the beginning of the country, the Arabs came and settled on the coast of East Africa. And on the coast, you find out there's so many Muslims because of the influence. And then later on, the Portuguese came, they kicked the Muslim a little bit interior. And in Zanzibar, the island of Tanzania, part of Tanzania, is like 99.9% are Muslim. And in Tanzania, in the mainland over here, is about 35% are Muslim. But we have a great opportunity to reach them. And some of the church people have seen them, they were converted from Muslim to Christianity. And this lady was like worried, like, Pastor, my family is going to say, they separate me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because who's going to bury me? She was so fearful and afraid. I said, you have a church family. This is your family. Don't worry about the family who's going to bury you. We'll take care of you. That's why you're in this family. And she says that she's faithful, and some other people are Muslim, and they get converted. So we are so thankful we have that opportunity to reach them also. And we don't have to fear, because we have the truth. You know, we don't have to fear them. Yes, maybe 2 more questions very quick. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we have another missionary. The town where we went to is where I grew up. And then we started Faith Baptist Church, me and my pastor, in 2001. And then in 2005, I came to go to the Bible college. And we have over 500,000 people. One church is not enough. So we had to plant more churches there. So we have another missionary. And there's another missionary in the big city and another towns. There's another few missionaries in the country. Yes, ma'am. Any other question? The last question. Yes, ma'am. Air conditioning. Yes, we do. We do, but we don't use it because the electricity is very high. Like the cost of running an AC unit. They sell in town. They have them. If you want, you can buy and install in your house. We have one in our bedroom, not for the whole house, but in our bedroom. It gets hot sometimes. Sometimes we don't have a choice. You have to go extra miles. You have to pay a little bit extra more. But most of the time, we just run the fan. We don't use because the electricity is very expensive. Like compared to gas, the gallon of gas over there would buy for $5 for a gallon of gas. So you can see it's expensive, but God is good. God is good. So there's those expenses, yes. Okay, let's jump into the Bible, into the message this morning. In the book of Mark chapter 5, starting on verse number 22. The Bible says, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the place behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And verse number 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about and about in the place, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou sayest the multitude throwing thee, and say thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Verse number 33. But the woman, feeling and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you very much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at Ocean County Baptist Church. Thank you for the people who brought them here this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, we ask you, your presence to be here, your Holy Spirit to be upon us. And Lord, I'm asking you to hide me behind the cross to preach and teach the word of God, and help if there's someone here this morning who hasn't, they didn't trust you as their personal Savior, they should do that this morning before they leave and go home. And Lord, we know that you are our God. You are the true God. We worship you, Lord. We love you. We need you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. This story, there's a lady who had been suffering. She had a disease. She had a problem in her body for 12 years, the Bible saying. And then this lady, she needed, she was trying to go around the country, around wherever she was. She was trying to get the help she needed. The Bible says Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, like the ruler of the church, went with Jesus. He went to Jesus, and then he said, my daughter is sick. She's about to die, but I'm asking you if you can come with me. And then Jesus was going to the jailer's house, and then on the way, this lady, she had been sick for 12 years with the issue of blood. And what's happened? She was looking for help, as many as she can. Like, she went to a different doctors, she went to a different hospital. In Africa, we it's big. The witch doctor is big enough. You know, I would say she went to all kind of witch doctors she can't find, but no one was able to help her. The issue, the problem, was still there. But she heard about Jesus, and now the only hope she had is Jesus. So she was like, I'm just going to go to Jesus. And this morning, I would like to ask you, what do you do when you can't fix things? What do you do when you cannot fix something in your life? You can't fix it. What do you do? Maybe some of us who may say, we may answer that, we try a little bit harder. You know, some of us who may say, we throw more money at the problem. Maybe some of us who may say, we seek the help of the professional. The marriage counselor can't put your marriage back together. The financial counselor cannot put your finances back together. The medical doctors cannot bring the healing. In this passage, this is the condition where we find this woman bleeding to death. This woman had sought the help of a doctor, suffered from many doctors, and spent all her money on doctors. So after she expended her energy, spent all that she had, sought the advice of many professionals, there was still a problem. She still had a bleeding condition. Maybe some of us this morning, we can relate to that. We have done all we can do to fix our problems and we still got the problems. But this woman finally found a way to solve her problem. If we can look closely at what she did and imitate what she did then, we can solve our problems before we leave this morning at this church. You know, we can learn from the Word of God. We can learn through the Bible stories, whatever they tell us, through the Word of God. We can learn things through this lady. She had issues. She had problems. She was sick. You know, I don't know what you're going through this morning. You might be going through a tough time. No one knows. But you know, I know someone knows. God knows what you're going through. Maybe your pastor doesn't know. Maybe your husband doesn't know. Maybe your wife doesn't know. I mean, maybe no one knows what you're going through. You're going through the valley this morning. No one knows, but God knows. And He's there to help you. You know, what she did this, I would say, number one, this lady, she didn't let anybody hinder her from getting close to Jesus. She didn't let anyone stop her from getting close to Jesus. Who stops you from getting close to Jesus? There was a large crowd in Mark 5:24. If you look on verse number 24 and 27, the Bible says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. There was a lot of people following Jesus. Verse number 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the place behind and touched his garment. She found a way to get through the crowd and cross to Jesus. Do you try to find a way to come cross to God this morning? Do you find a way? It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. God wants to hear from you. Many people are going through our trouble. We don't want to tell the master. We have to talk to the master and tell what we are going through in our lives. We can't just be silent. You know what? You can't just be silent. Just go talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Like the way you want to hear from your children at your home, that's the same thing our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us. He redeemed us. He saved us. You know, some of us have allowed other people to hinder us from getting close to Jesus. Maybe it's your spouse who tells you you're getting too spiritual. Maybe your spouse is, man, you're getting too spiritual nowadays. And you just want to back up a little bit. No. Don't let your spouse hinder you from getting close to God. You know, maybe it may be a friend that tells you that you are changing, no more fun since you became a Christian. Maybe you're saved not too long ago. You're a new Christian. And now your friends are just making fun of you. Man, you are no longer fun, man. Just like you used to do this and that. You just bring Jesus all the time. Don't let them stop you getting close to Jesus. You know, it may be so easy to slip away and to backslide because, you know, some people, they just say, we are not fun anymore. Hey, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm saving and I know where I'm going after this life. I mean, we're not going to live here forever. Our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is up there. And he went to prepare a place for us. He's going to come back one day. And we're always, like, you're going to hear the trumpet sound. One day, he's going to come back. Don't let someone stop you from getting close to God. It may be a Christian who loves you in a wrong way. So you cannot focus on living for God like you should. You know, maybe Christian and Christian. There's a Christian, I don't want to see him. Man, I'm going to go sit over there, and that's going to sit over there. Man, I can't stand that Christian. Ah, man, I'm not going to go to church. If he comes to church, man, I'm not going to church. You know why? Maybe pastor's going to come try to visit you. You don't say anything because you let other Christian stop you from getting close to God. Don't let do that. You know why? She didn't let anybody. That lady, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything she can. But you know what? She could give up hope that day. She would say, man, look at the crowd. You have to go through all these people, through his disciples and everything. Ah, forget it. I'm not going. She will never get healed that day. But she didn't let the crowd stop her from getting close to Jesus. Number one. Number two, she hit bottom and she was desperate. She hit bottom and she was desperate. Verse number 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, just like she had spent all the money she had. She had gone through a series of doctors. She had been in this condition for 12 long years. She has hit bottom physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and she was desperate. God has been waiting for you to hit bottom and gets desperate. And some of us, maybe we need to get desperate to God and then to see. I mean, like, if you need something, you're going to go and get it no matter what it takes. But we do for the physical thing, the thing we see. But you know what? We don't want to do for God. You know, it's a spiritual lesson. We don't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Not seen. Okay. That's faith. I don't see about tomorrow. I don't see about who's going to support me the next 2, 3, 10 years. I don't see. But we're going by faith. Amen. And we know that God is going to keep us there. And by faith, we see these people in Tanzania trusting Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. You know, I mean, if you really need a cure for something, I know you'll do whatever it takes to go get it. And this lady, she was desperate. She said, no matter what, I'm just going to go there and get it. And she did something different than anyone who ever thought. You know, who knew that if I touch the garment of Jesus, I'm going to be healed? No one knew that. No one saw it coming. You know, this day she said, you know, many people will go and tell Jesus, say, hey, I have this issue. Would you please help me? God knows your problem. God knows where you are. You know, you don't have to go tell him anything. He knows. You go touch his garment. That lady, she had faith. She knew that if I'll touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. That's faith. And even this morning, like, we need to have that kind of faith to come close to God. Many people, like, maybe we just come to church as a status quo. Like, that's the way you have to go to church, traditional. No, no, no. You have to come to church with an open heart, God to talk to you. We don't have to come to church because I have to go to church Wednesday or Sunday or whatever. You have to come to church prepared, God to speak to you. And that's why we are missing sometimes, you know. And if you really need something, you're going to do whatever it takes to get that something. And this lady, she didn't let the crowd stop her. She was desperate in need. And some of us, we are desperate. We need that salvation. I mean, we tried, the world didn't give us hope. We tried everything we can try. But the only hope you can get from Jesus Christ. You know, this country, the hope is not built on the White House or the next president or this and that. The hope is built on Jesus Christ alone. And you and I who are sitting here, who are the one who's going to bring hope to the dying world out there. People are looking for hope. People are looking for hope in Africa, in so many other countries. Who's going to give them? We know the truth. We have to take the gospel to them. Amen. We have, and some of us, we've been taught this Bible since we were little. Who did you make a change to? Who did you make an impact to? We have all the truth. We're just holding. I don't want to speak. Pastor preaching years after years after years, like he just feeding us. We just eat and eat. Did you give to someone else? Oh, just like, keep this myself. Just keep feeding me. You have to help someone else. I mean, this country has been blessed to know the Bible, the God of the Bible, and everything. We need to share with the rest of the world.
We are Christians. Just imagine if Christ didn't die on the cross for us. Where will we be tonight? He died. He didn't have to live up in heaven. He didn't have to come down here. But he loved you and I so much to die for us. And we need to send the same message of hope to the people who are dying in Africa, in Tanzania, and so many other parts of the world. You know, we are desperate because the time is very short. And God is coming back very soon. You see where the world is going right now. Hate and this and that. The only problem, because they have hate and all these things, the only solution I can guarantee you is Jesus. I mean, we can go to the UN, we can go to the White House, the Congress, and everything. They're not going to solve our problems. Only Jesus. If we invite him and come and say, be in our heart, we're going to love each other. We're not going to hate each other. We're not going to kill each other because we have Jesus in our heart. And that's the message we need to send to the world. Hey, people don't want to hear about Jesus anymore. I mean, if you are an athletic, like a professional basketball player or football player, if you want to start talking about Jesus, we are going on a commercial. You know, they're going on a commercial. Like, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, speaking about Jesus, they're going to cut that. They're going to go on a commercial. And they don't want to hear about God anymore. You don't see the news reporter speaking about God. Why don't they do more? You know, the news reporter, the media people, they're big influence on this nation. But you know what? You're going to offend somebody. Let them be offended, but I'll talk about my God. I mean, just that's plain and clear because he saved me. I don't deserve it. Why am I so fearful and afraid to talk about my God? And some, that's why, preacher, Christians, we are being silenced. We're going to be quiet. You know, they're going to endorse all this crazy stuff. We just, preacher, that's crazy. We just talk here and we don't do nothing. Christian, we have to stand for our God. I mean, the people in the past, they stood for their God. We need to stand for our God, and this is our moment, and this is our time. We as a Christian, as one army, we need to stand for our God. I mean, we don't have to deny him and say, whoever's going to deny me before men, I'll deny before my Father. That's what Jesus said. But we, many Christians, we don't want to get to that argument. We don't want to defend our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that they're going to do wrong. We don't want to condemn the sin and everything. We just stay behind, you know, right? Because we're not desperate, man. If you're desperate, we're going to send for the truth no matter what. But, you know, we're going to send for the truth. Number three. She had no doubts that Jesus was the answer to her problems. She had no doubts. Verse 28 to 29, Mark chapter 5, 28 and 29, the Bible says, "For she said, if I may touch but his cloth, I shall be whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." If you read the larger passage of the scripture, you discover that when this woman touched Jesus, he was on the way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. He was on the mission. Always Jesus was on the mission. But he always stopped for you. It doesn't matter what mission he's in. He's always there to listen to you. I mean, he was going to heal somebody else, but he stopped to help this lady. And then he continued with the journey. It would have been easy for her to say that God doesn't have time for me. He's going to Jairus' house. But this woman had no doubt that if she just touched his clothes, she would be healed. Some of us are stuck in our problems today because we haven't got to the point of believing that the only answer in our problem is Jesus. We still have doubts. Jesus is the only solution. We are still here and telling ourselves that we have a couple more options before Jesus. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And then the last option. I'll come to church. I'll come to find Jesus. Well, Jesus should be the first option. You know, I tell people, like, sometimes they come, "Oh, preacher, I need this, I need that." I said, "You came to me. Did you pray about it? Did you go to him? Because I'm not God. I'm not going to be able to solve everything. I mean, like, you have to pray first. Find him. He's going to direct you. And him, he's going to use men to help you. But you have to go to him first. But man, we go to men first. And God is the last option. It should not be that way.
We as a Christian, we need to go to him first. And then the last option, God is going to direct who's going to help us out. And as a Christian, we have to do that. Jesus may be the answer, but if I'm going to try, I'm going to try something else first. No, you have to go to Jesus. You don't have to go to try Jesus. You just know that he's going to do it. Maybe he's not going to do at the time you were expecting, you want to, but he's going to do it one day in his timing.
Until you have faith to believe that Jesus is your only solution, then your doubts will hinder God working in your life. This woman was breathing, with a breathing condition, knew Jesus was the only solution, so her faith removed all the doubt. Number four, she had the courage to acknowledge before Jesus and the crowd what God has done for her, desperate, having a great fear. Verse number 30 to 33. Some of us may still have our problems today because God knows that we would not have courage to stand and testify what God has done in our lives. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we should have courage to stand and testify for our God, what he did in your life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everybody. Let me finish with this number five. She knew her problems was gone because peace came over her heart. Verse number 34, the Bible says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in thy peace and be whole of thy plague." Peace came over her heart. Problems rob us of peace. Problems steal our peace of mind. Whether our problem is physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial problems, all of those problems rob us from our peace. You know that God has dealt with your problems. When peace comes back over your heart, the woman with the bleeding condition, the first thing that Jesus tells her is, "Go in peace." And then he tells her that she has been healed. Today, if you are not experiencing the peace of God over your heart, I can tell you that you have a problem and that has not been solved. But the good news is that our God offers you hope this morning. Jesus healed the woman with the bleeding condition, and God wants to heal your problems today. If you're desperate, God is there for you. God is there for you. We need to find him. It's like, "Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you." We don't want to draw near to God. We just want to keep God far, far, far away. This morning, we need to draw near to God. I mean, maybe we're going through a tough time. It doesn't matter what tough time we're going through, but he said, just draw near to me. You might be going through the valley, but as a Christian, I mean, one thing I remember, I know for sure in the Bible, one thing, preacher, I'm not good theologian or whatever, but for what I learned from the Bible is one thing I know, Jesus Christ promised you and me, if we trust him as our personal Savior, will take us to heaven. Amen. And that's for sure what's settled in heaven. Amen. That's for sure. But he never said, when you trust in him, and when you believe in him, life is going to be easy. Life is going to be tough. And he didn't say that you're not going to go through the valley. You're not going to go through the problems in your life. No, he never said that. And some people are teaching that. Like, yo, when you are in Jesus, like, everything is great. No. We are humans. We have to go through things in life to teach us to help someone else. And some of the Christians, like, you are in the valley today and you are missing the blessing of being down in the valley. Because you're complaining, but when you're down in the valley, God is still with you. He never left you. He's still there with you. So we should stop complaining and look what we're going to learn through that valley. Because when you're down in the valley, you're going to come out one day, and then you're going to be able to help someone else. God is trying to teach us, trying to train us to be able to help someone else. Whatever, I don't know what valley you're going through. I preach about different. There are seven different valleys found in the Bible. You know, one of them was the valley of decision. The children of Israel, they reached the point, they're almost there to the T.
to Canaan,
to the promised land. They're almost there.
You know what's happened?
They sent 12 spies. We know that. If you send spies, you are almost there. I mean, you say, hey, 12 spies, one from each tribe, and go spy the land. He sent them there. When they went in there,
they spied the land.
They came back. They say the good news is they agreed the land was good. It's like flowing with milk and honey. But because the land was good, let's go conquer. But tell people, they say, no way, we're not going to be able to conquer. Because you know why? You know, because those people in there, they're giants. We look like grasshoppers. We are not going to be able to get it. And then, what's happened? The children of Israel, there's two men. There's two, they say, we can conquer. Let's go in.
10 men
say, we cannot go in. The children of Israel, they were in the valley. They were supposed to make a decision. To listen to men or to listen to God.
To obey
men or to obey God.
They have to make a decision.
And some of us, we are in the point of our lives in the valley of a decision. Where to go to college, who to marry, what to do, this and that. You know what? Just listen to what God has for you. And whatever, maybe sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but let me guarantee you, even if it doesn't make any sense, do the will of God. Do what God wants you to do, because you know what? The safest place to be in the center of the will of God. You know, if God has called you to go to a missionary, to be a missionary in Africa, in the Congo, in the jungles in Congo, you will be safe there than being in Chicago. This year alone, look how many people died in Chicago. The famous basketball player, I don't know, his cousin, I don't know, went there in Chicago. She was walking down the street with a baby. She got shot. Like you went to visit your relative in Chicago, you're not safe there. Might as well be there in Congo preaching the gospel. I know you're going to fight malaria, typhoid, and all these things, but you're safe there in Congo than being in Chicago. Find the will of God and do it. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but you know why? Just do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey. Just obey him. You hear, you know. Some of us, we know that we are not supposed to be somewhere. But let's obey God. You know, Christians, let me encourage you. We might be few, but we have a great God. As you say, like a preacher, I preached the message on Gideon before I came on our second year anniversary. I preached a message on Gideon. Gideon was from the tribe of Manasseh, a very small tribe. He was poor. He came from a poor family. Gideon was hiding when God came to talk to him. Gideon was hiding. And then when he was hiding, God came and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." I say, "Benny, I never fought the war, or you call me the mighty man of valor." Me? I say, "Yes,
you, Gideon."
What's happened? God told Gideon, "Assemble the army." And then Gideon assembled the army of 32,000 men, mighty men. He said, "These are the men who are going to go fight the war." And God looked upon the men and said, "They're too many. You have to reduce the number." I said, "God,
serious?
I have to reduce the number? Like, we are fighting against 135,000 people.
Like, there's no way."
But Gideon told the men, like, "Anyone who's afraid, go back home."
10,000 went back home.
Just like that. They were afraid. They didn't want to go to war. Like, they're trembling. They're afraid.
Okay.
God looked upon the army. 22,000 left. Remember that. And then those 22,000, and then God said, "There's so many still. Let's reduce it." Gideon told to take the men to the brook, to the river, to get some water. And then those who were drinking in a certain way, they were put on the side. And those who were drinking in a certain way, they were put on the side. And what's happened? 300 men qualified to go to war
against 135,000.
That's like when you look on your eyes, me and me, in your ears, it's impossible. 300 men against 135,000. Yes, impossible to you, but it's possible to God.
Amen.
It may be impossible to me and you. Like, you see, it doesn't make any sense, God. Like, 300 men, like, we are dead already before even you get there. You know why? We know the story. They won the war. They won that battle. And this morning, I would like to remind you, like, immorality has been conquered the Christians. I mean, there are so many young people are just dropping out on Christianity. And the army of Jesus Christ is being reduced so much. We are very few to understand for the truth. But let me tell you, for those few people who are standing for the truth, God is going to use us and they're going to win the war. Amen. Just stand up for God. Stand up for God because God wants to hear from you. God wants those who are faithful. Who's going to stand and work for him? God is going to look for someone who can continue. Even if the hardship is going to come in your life, the adversity is going to come in your life, you still trust him, he's going to bring you through. There are very few. I don't know what you're going through this morning. You might be going through a tough time. You might be going through, no one knows what you're going through. But I promise you, God knows what you're going through. Be like that lady. She didn't have any hope. The hope was gone. But she knew that I'm just going to go give a shot. Just try one more time to this guy named Jesus. I'm just going to go there. I'll touch this guy. I know I'm going to be healed. Even if I'm not going to be healed, I'm just going to go home. I tried everything. And you might have tried everything. Try Jesus today. Go to him. Give him your burden. Some of us were carrying heavy load. We are tired. We can't go any one more step forward. This morning, God wants to help you. Bring your burden to him. He wants to take care of you. Don't keep holding there your burden. It just keep killing you. I don't know what you're going through. It might be a tough time. You know, some of us this week, you might be going to the doctor. The doctor's going to tell you, I'm really sorry. You have cancer. You're thinking, like, how are you going to tell your spouse? How are you going to tell your family? How are you going to leave those kids behind? But you know, God wants to take good care of you. It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. Our advice, do like that lady. She did a crazy thing. And Jesus Christ, when he was asking his disciples, he said, who touched you? Man, who touched you? All these people that are touching you? But there was a special touch that day. And this morning, maybe there will be a special touch for those who are going to come forward and then going to kneel before God and say, God, I don't look about any of these people. Just put all those people behind. Just you and God. Just between you and God because you are desperate, because you need that something from him. When you need something, you're going to turn for everybody. You're going to see God and you. That's all. And this morning, why don't you do that? Just see God. He's going to help you in your marriage. He's going to help you in your finances. He's going to help you to go through situation going through. God is looking for you. He's looking for someone. He can help someone this morning to be encouraged, to be moving forward. Don't go back. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. You may fall 7 times, the Bible says, you need to get up again. It doesn't matter how much you fell. It doesn't matter how much you let him down. He still wants to use you. Some of you may be like Peter. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. But you know, in the book of Acts, he's preaching. The revival is taking place. 3,000 people had just added to the church. They trusted Jesus Christ. They added to the church. The guy, a few chapters back, he denied Jesus Christ. He went back fishing. He backslided. Maybe you backslide and God still wants to use you. There's hope. We still live here. God is using the sinful man we don't deserve, but God is still using us. It's up to you, preacher.